ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट 8। स ईश्वर काल उरुक्रमोस्व ओजसः सत्व बलेन्द्रियात्मा स एव विश्वं परमः स्वशक्तिभिः सृजते अवते इति गुणत्रयेश। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the supreme controller and time factor, is the power of the senses, the power of the mind, the power of the body, and the vital force of the senses. His influence is unlimited. He is the best of all living entities, the controller of the three modes of material nature. By His own power, He creates this cosmic manifestation, maintains it, and annihilates it also. Purport. Since the material world is being moved by the three material modes, and since the Lord is their master, the Lord can create, maintain, and destroy the material world. That's all. Hare Krishna. So, today is a very unique date, 080808. And just a few minutes ago, it was 0808 time. So we saw the electronic watch, it appeared 08080808, which is now going to happen again. So of course, it's a very wonderful festive occasion. Three of our very wonderful inmates are back, and we could see that everybody is in very great spirits. Because every person has a unique position. You know, there might be many, many devotees, but every person has his own place. And he contributes to the enthusiasm and overall happiness of the whole community. So when a single person is not around, it does make us feel separation. And when the person or the persons are back, we feel very happy. And of course, when the fact that they are gone for some wonderful service makes us much more happy. So I don't feel very happy to be sitting here. It should be one of those two who should be sitting here. But this is providence. So today we are reading from the 7th canto, 8th chapter, verse number 8. So there's a lot of 8s today. Eight is a very auspicious figure. We all know the eight sakhis, and it is wonderful today. So, and exactly 8 verses from now, from this verse, Lord Narsingdev is going to appear. So we are in a very, very wonderful, if this was going to be picturized, by this time the audience would have been on the edge of their seats. Because, you know, what has happened, you know, we have seen dramas of Narsingdev Appearance Day, on Narsingdev Appearance Day. And we can picturize Adikesha Prabhu, luckily he is here also today. How, and his lips are trembling when Prahlad is speaking all these things. And Adikesha Prabhu gave a class last Sunday, a beautiful class, describing the anger of Hiranyakashipu. And herein, you can see Prahlad, what sort of fearlessness is being portrayed. Now, this verse is nothing but a wonderful combination of the most powerful type of anger, which was in the form of Hiranyakashipu. It is said that he was so powerful that just by his eyebrows, you know, it would rain or it could become a exact temperature that he wanted. He didn't even need a remote control. You know, we think that we are in control by remote controls nowadays. I went to somebody's house the other day. Even the chairs are remote controlled. I went to Hong Kong in somebody's house and I said, sir, can I pull this chair? He said, no, don't worry, the chair will come. I said, how will it come? So he just took a remote control and the chair came. I said, and he sits and if he wants to see a TV, he will just press a button and the chair moves and watches towards the TV. And then if he wants to, it means, I thought he was having no legs because, I said, why don't you use your legs? But he was just feeling, he wanted to use the money in some way or the other. So this, everything was remote control. So we feel that when we are remote, we are very powerful. But here, Hiranyakashipu, he didn't even need a remote control. His anger was remote. It would just seize, the eyebrows would just make everything happen the way he wanted. And this was the anger. And I was trying to figure out that, is there anything we can compare in this day and age to Hiranyakashipu? And there was nothing. There's no personality in this day and age who can be compared to Hiranyakashipu. I was trying to compare that, if, say, Dayanidhi Prabhu's son, Nityananda, was to speak to somebody, how it will look? What is it, this combination? But of course, I couldn't find a comparison to Hiranyakashipu because there's no person. There's no person existing in this creation who is as powerful as Hiranyakashipu. The most powerful anger of Hiranyakashipu, this is the epitome of his anger right now, he's been confronted by a child, by his fearlessness, born out of complete faith in Krishna. So this verse is nothing but a combination of powerful anger versus fearlessness of born out of what? Not out of some madness. Sometimes a person who is mad, he's also fearless. And sometimes you see mad people on the road, they come right in the front of the car. Arey, mar, mar mereko, and something like that. I was driving, somebody just came in front of my, I said, mar dal, kya karega? Now, I said, well, this guy is also not fearful of death, but they're not born out of higher realizations that I'm not this body, but born out of completely crazy madness. Like we know that there are two people who can be happy in this world. The person who is self-realized and the person who is completely mad. Right? So this fearlessness of Prahlad is not born out of some madness or some craziness. It's born out of complete faith and dependency in Krishna. And what is it that makes him fearless? He's telling Hiranyakashipu. He said, why I am fearless? Because I am dependent on the Lord. And what are the qualities of the Lord? This verse is explaining. The Supreme Lord, who is a supreme controller and the time factor. Supreme controller and the time factor. The power of the senses, the power of the mind, the power of the body, whose influence is unlimited. He's the best of the living entities. He's the control of all the three modes of material nature. He manifests, maintains, and annihilates everything. Now, if you want to give an introduction to somebody and you hear an introduction like this, that is this, the way it's explained by Prahlad. This person is amazing, right? What sort of introduction is this? Sometimes we say that, he's owner of five companies. He is worth, some few million dollars, which also keeps fluctuating. Nowadays, people are worth X amount today. But if the market goes down, they are practically on the 10th position. Because it's all, it's not very real. It is all illusory. Right? So this is, we introduce somebody that this muscle is very powerful. But what can be more powerful than this introduction? Prahlad Maharaj is saying that, what is the Lord? What is Krishna is all about? He is Supreme Personality of Godhead and everything that he mentioned. So, when Prahlad was speaking all these things, Hiranyakashipu was, can you imagine his anger? To speak something about the most ardent enemy of his, to a person who is so powerful as Hiranyakashipu. Just few verses back, or a few chapters back, when first time Prahlad was sent to the school and he came back, Chandamarka said that, oh, dear Hiranyakashipu, here is your son, he is very well educated. And Hiranyakashipu was so loving. Hiranyakashipu could be a loving father, it was there, he was a father also. And if he's not, he was a demon, so he was always angry. He said, oh my dear Prahlad, sit on my lap. And he was smelling the head of his son. He was very happy.
So he was very loving person. But as Adhikesha Prabhu also explained, as we heard, this is the happiness of demons is to the extent that their sovereignty or their power is not challenged. And we see, of course, the only thing that we can remember is the drama again, because we have not seen the whole episode. So we see, you know, the old drama where Adhikesha Prabhu and Anuradha Mataji, Rupa Manjari Mataji, and Adhikesha Prabhu was, oh please, he was waiting to hear them, something nice, demoniac coming out, and he said, the sadhu manne asur. He said, what? What's this? First of all, he couldn't figure out who's speaking this, and then he throws Prahlad, and so that shows the two natures of a demon, or a person, not necessarily a demon, but who is not a pure devotee of the Lord. We have this particular aspect in one of the novels or one of the movies I read, Mr. Hyde and Dr. Jekyll. Is that right? Mr. Hyde and Dr. Jekyll. These are the same people. But when this person was possessed in the night and became a demon, and as the word says, Mr. Hyde means he was hidden in the garb of Dr. Jekyll, who was a very nice person. Very helpful and very nice person. But that demon within him would come out in the night. And he would do all sort of notorious nasty things. And this was what was Hiranyakashipu. Very nice person when everything was nice. Kamsa also, very nice person. Very, very affectionate. Having tears in his eyes when the sister is going back to the, after getting married. But the moment Akashvani happened, or the moment Prahlad started speaking all these things, worship of Vishnu, he became very angry. So this is what is that situation of all of us, double-sided nature. We are very nice, we are very wonderful when everything is going very nice with us, when we have been respected, when we have been praised. When everybody offer obeisances to us, you know, the right people offering obeisances to us, we feel nice, we're happy. But something going against the way we want things. Right? We all know that at Vaishnavas, you know, we are supposed to be tolerant. But do we really tolerate the disturbance in our mind? No. That's why Prabhupada was very, very specifically mentioned that what is the litmus test of a greatness of a person. Not the number of years, but simply his power to tolerate provoking situations. And here Prahlad was really provoking Hiranyakashipu. Really provoking him. Is it because, you know, pinching him from all sides, that you are not, I said, you are actually, you know, your strength comes from the same strength. I get the strength from Lord Vishnu. Big provocation. And you know the greatness of Hiranyakashipu. He was at that time the whole ruler of the whole creation, or maybe must be very whole creation, right? He was all the demigods were under his subjugation. So he was a powerful man, very powerful person to control all the demigods. It takes great power. You know, Indra is not some Lallu Panju fighter. He's not some ordinary guy. You know, sometimes we talk of Indra as if Indra, but who is Indra? You know. Indra is Devendra. He is the king of the demigods. That means of 33 crore demigods. He is the king of all of them. They are not crazy people to make him the king. He is a powerful man. Very, very powerful. And the person who has done 99 Ashwamedha or some yagyas that he performed. 100. Or he did 100. Yeah, he finished 100. Yeah. He did 100 and he didn't allow others to do 100. Yes, he did 100, but he didn't want anybody else to do 100. That's his another aspect, right? So very powerful person. But when Hiranyakashipu was, they were so scared. It is said that they were hiding. And they were scared of him. That was the power of Hiranyakashipu. But that's not real greatness. As per the description given by Srila Prabhupada, that the greatness of a person is estimated on how he tolerates provoking situations. If Hiranyakashipu was really great, honestly speaking, he should have folded his hands and said, Prahlad, yes, please. What you are saying is, and I must hear. But you know, it's not like that. Right? So this is a wonderful description of Prahlad. And herein, he speaks about the supremacy of the Lord when he says that you are the lords of all the lords. Bhaktivinod Thakur in his one of his bhajans, he says, Tumi sarve ishwar swaraha. Wonderful verse. Wonderful word, right? Tumi sarva ishwara swaraha. Means you are the Ishwar of all the Ishwars. Vrajendra Kumar. Of course, this line is so wonderful that in this one line, he is glorifying the Lord and glorifying the devotee of the Lord. I said, you are Ishwar of all Ishwaras, but still you are the son of Nanda Maharaj. I was hearing the class just now, you know, while we were addressing the deities, and Prabhupada was saying that Krishna is cause of all causes. Is Aham Bija Pratap Pita. He is the father of everything, everybody. And yet, he is known as Vrajendra Kumar. He is the son of Vrajesh Tanaya, as sometimes we say. Vrajesh Tanaya. So this is the glory of the Lord, that somebody who is the father of the whole creation becomes a son. So how great is that father of whose he becomes a son? This is the glory of the Lord. That's why this sage, I forget the name, he worships Nanda Maharaj. Who is the sage? Raghupati Upadhyaya. He says, I worship Nanda Maharaj because in his courtyard, this supreme personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes, who is the master of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, who is the time factor, who is the control of all the three modes of material nature. Usually three modes we see, three ladies, you know, controlling. But there is also a thread passing through all three ladies, and there's somebody up there, Krishna is sitting. Such a wonderful thing is Krishna. And of course, he doesn't really need to do himself. He's just doing like this, and he controls by this. And just by playing his flute, he controls everything. His movement of fingers controls everything. He does move the fingers, but not like this. That's Krishna. So here in Prahlad is wonderfully explaining a particular aspect of the Lord, that he is the time factor. A time factor is the most wonderful thing. I was just reading one of the essays written by His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj in the Back to Godhead magazine, where he says that through that time, the will of the Lord is manifested. The Lord uses the time to manifest His will. Whatever the Lord desires, it is a matter of time that is manifested. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said at one point of time when he was personally present, Yare dekhe tare ko, I'm sorry, that in every town and village my names will be spread. What is that verse? Right? Everywhere in a matter of time, it got manifested. So time is the gift of God. If somebody gives you a gift, suppose your birthday or whatever, if somebody gives you a gift, then how you value or how you use the gift is how you respect or dishonor the person who has given the gift, right? If somebody gives you a gift and you just go to your room and put it in the dustbin, that means you also don't have value the person who is given the gift. Isn't it? If somebody sees that you got a gift and you put it in the dustbin, or you don't really value it or don't really, you forgot it. It happened with me unfortunately once that somebody with great love, you know, gave me a marriage card. Prabhuji, please come for the marriage, you know, I'm getting married and it is only once that I get married. As I pray, you get only married once. So he gave me a card and I said, Prabhuji, definitely I'll come. I said, Prabhuji, address. I said, everything is there in the card, right? Yeah, it's there. And then I was changing my dress in the congregation room and I put the card and then I left and the card was just there. And this person came 5 minutes afterwards only. And he came to the end, he was changing. I said, this card, Shidama Das and Fly. And family, of course. I said, he has flown away. And his card. I said, Prabhuji, aapne wo card lena bhul gaya. I said, I'm sorry. But I could see that he was feeling bad. He was feeling very bad. So I reached 1 hour before in the marriage. I said, I'm there. I said, I'm right there. Before you came, I came. Because I didn't want him to feel bad. Because how you treat his card is how you treat him. Right? Similarly, this time is a gift of God. How you treat time is how you treat God. How you use time is how you treat God. So Giriraj Maharaj is saying that time is of utmost importance to all of us. Because the duration of our life is made of time. How we use our time is how we use our life. Wonderful statement of Giriraj Maharaj. The duration of life is made up of time. Time in the form of hours or seconds or whatever type of calibration we do of time. But how we use our time is how we use our life. So once Srila Prabhupada, Giriraj Maharaj was explaining, was sitting with businessmen of Bombay. They are quite smart people. You know, Prabhupada was talking to businessmen of Bombay in 1973. And I said, Prabhupada, how do we make profit? They were talking to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was also a businessman. Very successful. If you analyze, Prabhupada was such a wonderful businessman that actually it was said that he was going to be the richest person, one of the richest person in the country. Somebody predicted, right? He became a richest person, but in a maybe different way. And he was competing at one point of time with Bengal Chemicals, right? It's one of his competing companies with Bengal Chemicals. And right now, Bengal Chemical is one of the public limited companies in India. If you see in Prabhadevi, there's a big Bengal Chemical board. So Prabhupada's company was competing with Bengal Chemicals. So Prabhupada, a very powerful businessman. So Prabhupada was telling him, after his realizations of 70 decades of experience, that he was telling this businessman, he said, Chanak Pandit says that if you lose a moment of time, you cannot get it back by millions of dollars. And Prabhupada didn't use dollars, Prabhupada said rupees. You can't get it for millions of rupees. So what is more valuable, rupees or time? And then he said that in your ledger of life, the time engaged in Krishna consciousness is your profit, and time engaged in material activities is a loss. Wonderful description, you know, Prabhupada talked the way and people understood. In a ledger of life, we have the ledger books. What is profit? The profit, everything that you do and done for Krishna, actually for Krishna, with consciousness, not just external activities. With tan, man, dhan, or whatever we call, manasa, deho, geho, everything you have given it to Krishna, that activities are your profit. And things that you have done for your material sense gratification, even though they might externally be looking very Krishna conscious, is your loss. So this time factor is a very, very important thing. Right now, the time is ticking. And you know, I think I mentioned this earlier, but you know, there was a survey done of what is the most fearful sound vibration. There was a survey done. What is the most fearful sound vibration? So, you know, they tried out all the possible, the most horror of horror movies, musics. And they said, but the most, I don't know how they did the survey. I don't know how these people do surveys or all such things. But the outcome was that the most fearful or the most horrifying sound vibration is the ticking of the clock. It was an established fact that when the clock ticks, when they complete silence, and it's if you hear that for a few minutes, it can actually make you mad. It make you crazy. It can make you fearful. That's why if you see, you know, Hindi movies, English movies, don't see, of course. Goim Prabhu is saying, don't see. But as we used to see, that's better. As we used to see. I don't see, please don't. I don't see. So when we used to see movies, the only thing that there's nothing happening, and you know, just about that the ghost or whatever that deadly creature is about to appear, just before that, the only sound is, and you feel scared. It's just the sound of the clock, that's all it is. But you feel scared. That's time. Because time is such an all-devouring demon. For materialists, takes away mrityu sarva aharsh chaham. That it takes away everything that you have. And finally, in the form of death, it just bites you and kills you. But time is simply working in form of, like, you know, somebody's eating you, and you are suffering. And death, pop, it just eats you and finishes you. And that's what is time factor for people who are trying to be enjoying sense gratification. It's very scary. That's why it is said, time and tide wait for no man. When tide comes, whether you are in the wealthiest city of America or wherever you are, it comes. It doesn't care who you are, and time doesn't wait for anybody. That's why in Bhagavatam, time is called as Chandaveg, right? Vega. The reason why it is because it is, you cannot stop it. In the fourth canto, Puranjan's pastimes, he said that it is Chandaveg. That time is a vague. It doesn't wait for anybody. It just goes. And even right now, it is going and going, and you cannot stop it. And what is the daughter of time? I was reading this fourth canto, very interesting. Huh? And daughter of time is old age, Jara. And of course, Jara was trying to, you know, find some shelter, as we hear from this wonderful pastime of Puranjan, trying to find some shelter, and found Narad Muni, very young person, Naishthika Brahmachari, in the pink of his youth. And he approached Narad Muni. She approached. He said, please marry me. He said, no, I am a Naishthika Brahmachari. I don't have nothing to do with you. She cursed. He said, you keep on traveling everywhere. It's a good curse for Narad Muni. But then ultimately, she took shelter of a person named Mr. Bhai. Not Abhay. Mr. Bhai of fear. So this time, the daughter of time is Jara, and she takes shelter of Bhai. She comes together. It's a wonderful combination to think about. That how time factor causes us, I remember when I turned 30, from 29, 30, it was quite demoralizing. And all of you must have, when your age was from 29, you'll write a 30 before, 30 years. I don't know about you, but because I'm too attached to my body, I said 30 years old. When you became from 19 to 20, it is fun. Because after 20, you get a lot of benefits. Driving license and a chance to freak out with opposite sex. And everything is fun, you know, after 20. So it's 19 to 20 is a nice transition. It is fun. It's, I'm not 20 years old. It is fun. But from 29 to 30, you already have, in the 10 years, you already enjoyed everything. It's depressing. And then from 39 to 40, I've not experienced it, but it'll come. And many of you have experienced it. 39 to 40, it's Madhucharya Prabhu, what you felt? of course, you know, for devotees, this question, actually for him, he has to think, oh, really, I'm 40. He might not be even knowing because he looks Nava Yovanam. He looks always youthful. The way he dances, it doesn't look like, but I think he's beyond 45 also. Anyways, but when we turned 40, it is very depressing. He said, I'm 40 years old. And I was speaking to my brother, Dwarkadish Prabhu, and he was saying that when he turned 45, that's really, really, you know, too much. And what talk of when you are 50? You are 50. And I was reading an article written by His Holiness Satsarup Goswami Maharaj. And he writes this article after he turned 50. Wonderful, wonderful thing to think about. He said, he was writing an article that he was thinking that now I'm 50. So I really do not know what is really, what's happening in my mind is right or wrong. He was trying to put himself in different situations and trying to see what's really happening in my life. He writes these three situations. I can't figure out whether my dislikes of too fast kirtan is because of my evolved spiritual taste or because I am too old to jump and dance. And when we come to Krishna consciousness, many of us are young. We came young in Krishna consciousness. Majority of the crowd sitting here, we came young, luckily. And we, you know, we came to kirtans, and the first we just jumped into it and we're dancing like mad people. It's fun. And I remember when I came first time, in kirtan, when I was 18 years old, it was so much energy, you know, so much fun. But I was part of the core group, just dancing everybody, and people were scared of me because if I start dancing, they would go away, because you know the unnecessary passion that we exhibit during dancing. But then as our years go by and we become senior devotees means we have become old. And then we come to 30s and 35s. Then one of the things that happen is we start going away from the center of dancing. We were right at the center when we are young, and then we start going away. And then when the dancing starts, we are out. When he says, when there's kirtan, it's time to leave now, it's time to leave. Now, because Satguru Maharaj is saying that, I don't like too much of fast kirtan, he's saying. Is it because of my evolved spiritual taste? That because I become advanced and I become very evolved, so maybe I like some more serene, more meditative type of music? Or it is because that I can't jump and dance anymore? He said, when young devotees make a speech saying everyone should go out and convert the demons, he said, I often see through their hype. Satguru Maharaj is saying, I often see through the hype. But in my mature vision, or is this my mature vision? Or simply that I lost my nerve, he's saying. I've just lost my enthusiasm and lost faith in Krishna, that Krishna can do anything. When I remember first time when I heard that, Krishna consciousness will spread in every town and village. I said, Jai! I'll be part of it. Wonderful. But then when somebody speaks now, unfortunately, Are nahi hone wala yaar, kya? It doesn't happen. You think it's easy? Don't make a big hype of it. Huh? Is it because of our maturity? Is it because of our faithlessness in Krishna? We don't know. There's a very, very thin line. Then he says, nowadays, I tend to see absolute truth in various philosophies and religions. I see absolute truth in all philosophies and religions. Is that a sign of reaching universal realization, or does it mean that I am drifting and becoming unchaste? Wonderful points that he's making. That nowadays, I see Krishna in everything. Oh, this is wonderful, this philosophy, everything is nice. Is it because I become Uttamadhikari that I see everything good in everybody, or because I just become unchaste? This is old age. And when I lecture, I can figure out if I'm enthralling people or boring them. Is it have I gone from stable to stoggy? What is stog? STODGY. I didn't understand the word. I'm sorry. I don't know. You can refer to the dictionary. But he said, have I become a stable or become whatever it means? So he was trying to analyze. This is when he turns 50. He's writing. This is a confession of a very, very evolved devotee who's writing about his turning 50. So the point that we are trying to drive here is that old age will come to all of us. And to the extent we have enjoyed youthful life of Krishna consciousness, to the same extent it will become much more difficult for us to face old age. Like, many times, I must honestly confess that when I used to, play those wampers for hours sometimes. But when I see now Shivaram Prabhu playing, I say, how does he do it? Well, now I play for half an hour, I just start getting pain everywhere and my ears just start ringing. For 2 days, this ringing sound. And how does this person do it? Huh? And I'm sure he will also face the same situation. I don't know whether he is here or not, but he's also faced in 10 years. How does he do it? It's a fact. It happens to everybody. Old age is a very, very humbling experience. It's a very humbling experience. Because, the senses want to do it, but body doesn't allow. For materialist, it's also a very humbling experience. The senses want to enjoy sense gratification, but you are old. Nobody wants to enjoy with you anymore. But the devotee also, don't think that as devotees, Prabhupada said it, right? Prabhupada said it to devotees, don't think this will not happen to you. Is it not? When Prabhupada was having old age problems, he told all his young people, the same people who are now old, were sitting in different places, not able to travel, unfortunately, because of old age or because of some difficulty with the body. The same people were told by Prabhupada 20 years, 30 years ago, don't think this will not become to you. And we must repeat Prabhupada's words, and we must be assured that this same thing will happen to all of us. So I was strongly feeling that in our vigor, in our power of youthful passion and youthful energy, we all should never in our minds or in our action disrespect people with senior age. It's a very important thing. Because as we this famous thing that once Radhanath Maharaj came from Italy and he went to this museum where all the bones of the great Christian monks were arranged in very, very artistic way, and everything was very nice. And at the end, after the whole artistic museum, everybody sees. And, you know, sometimes in Italy, there are tourists, you know, the boys and girls together, you know, hugging each other and walking and seeing the nice, you know, even the fans, the tube lights. Everything is made of these bones of this, you know, Brahmachari Catholic priests. They're all, you know, celibate priests. And they said, we can't throw this. It's very valuable. So they made the whole museum. You know, maybe it would be fun to go there sometimes. But as they go around and they see all these nice things, and some of the person is chanting also in there. At the end, these sages who are bygone days, they're giving a message to all the people who are coming. They said, what you are, we used to be. And what we are, you will be. Wonderful statement. And of course, Radhanama was explaining that, you know, when a boys and girl, you know, young boys and girls, they are embracing, and then she read this, they look at each other. I mean, this is the fact of life. So similarly, old age, what people are, many of the old devotees are now, you know, they used to be like us. And what they are now, we will be. Right? So this is a very important consideration in our Vaishnavas, in a Sangam, that to understand. And sometimes it's a good time to sit with senior age people and understand how they perform Krishna consciousness. It's wonderful, very, very wonderful to see. And our temple is filled with such enthusiastic devotees who are by age very, very advanced, and how they perform Krishna consciousness, because you will have to be like them. So it is a wonderful experience, because in our youth, we tend to just keep aside all the people who are slow and we want to be with the fast people. Prabhuji, hajjao. Sit down. I won't. But you will be slow one day. So, Srila Prabhupada, you know, when he was 72 years old, 1958, 58 means 72 years old, right? 58, 40, 72 years, right? In 1958, Prabhupada, when he was in Vrindavan, he had just left his family. He had taken shelter of Vrindavan Dham. And Prabhupada writes a beautiful poetry, wonderful poetry, which I would like to share with you all, of what is life at advanced age. Prabhupada here shows his own realizations when he is 72 years old. 62. So here is, everyone has abandoned me, seeing me penniless. Wife, relatives, friends, brothers, everyone. This is misery, but it gives me a laugh. I sit alone and laugh. In this Maya Samsara, whom do I really love? Where have all my loving father and mother gone off now? And where are all my elders who were my own folk? Who will give me the news of them? Tell me who? And last line, beautiful. All that is left of this family life is a list of names. Srila Prabhupada ki. This is Prabhupada's evolved realizations of his wonderful Krishna consciousness, grihastha life, dedicated life to spiritual master, and then he leaves. And of course, the family is not with him because he has no money or everything, and this is what he writes. This is what is life all about when you have no charisma in a form of maybe money, or in form of charisma in the form of attracting people because of old age. Of course, Prabhupada was the most charismatic person. This brings us a point. I'm going really overboard. I'll just finish in maybe 2 minutes. This brings a point that time factor does not affect devotees. It doesn't affect, because devotees are surrendered to Krishna. And even though the body gets old, but the enthusiasm doesn't get old at all. One of the natural outcomes of old age is intolerance. I experienced in my own house. I don't want to mention name, but somebody very close to me. Old person, very intolerant. natural outcome is intolerance. Right? You can't tolerate. Something goes wrong, become intolerant. I was in Ukraine, Kyiv, just some time back, and there we had association of Niranjan Maharaj, Devamri Swami Maharaj, and one very, very wonderful disciple of Prabhupada. His name is Prabhupada Das Prabhu. He was given the name of Prabhupada Das Prabhu. He was a New Yorker in 1966, but he took initiation in 1974. And he was explaining, and I couldn't imagine what was Prabhupada's munificence. He was explaining, and Niranjan Maharaj was giving a understanding to all the Kyiv devotees and to all the people like us. He said, none of you have been to America. It's not that when Prabhupada went to America that he went to Fifth Avenue, which is one of the most costliest streets of America. Prabhupada was preaching in the ghettos, the dirtiest of dirty places. And Prabhupada Das Prabhu was speaking. He said, because he himself was a hippie, he said, I would like to explain to you what we were actually. He said, number one, because we were taking drugs, we always had loose motions. And because we were drugs and we had loose motions, we didn't know what we were doing. It would happen sometimes. And we would not take baths for days. And because we were always on drugs, we would see everything that we walk as steps. That all everybody would walk very slow. Because they would see everything as steps. They would feel everything is like steps. So once he, in this condition, in this unfortunate condition, he went to his house. Prabhupada Prabhu went to his house. And his own father, who actually belonged, he was in New York, belonged to a very, very respectable family. His own father said, you get out of my house right now, otherwise I'm going to call the police. The own father who has given birth to this person couldn't even tolerate. He said, my father couldn't tolerate me. I was so hopeless and so dirty. He left his house, and where did he go? He went to 26 Second Avenue. It brings tears in our eyes. When we stand 22nd Avenue, Prabhupada was giving a class. Today I was, while dressing DDs, Prabhupada was giving class in 1966, July. So much disturbance. And Prabhupada didn't like disturbance, right? Prabhupada was in the chanting also, he would say, sit properly. Prabhupada was a strict man. But you know, sometimes he was giving class and the children are shouting, I could hear in the background and people were coming. Prabhupada would have to stop. In the one we hear in the CDs. And this person came to Prabhupada's class when he was giving class. And so he was all dirty. Can you imagine how dirty and stinking he was? And Prabhupada saw him from the door. And said, Prabhupada said, come. And said, Prabhupada said, make way for him. And he was dirty. And Prabhupada, and of course, as he said, he would see everything as steps. So he would walk very slowly. He said, everything was steps for him. So he walked, and Prabhupada said, sit down. And he sat down. Prabhupada touched his head. Don't trouble. Okay? And then he started his class. And he said, he sat there for 45 minutes. Just listening to Prabhupada. This was Prabhupada. So old age, which is otherwise very intolerant, but Prabhupada was the most tolerant. And of course, there's so many such stories of how Prabhupada was so extremely tolerant. This is once an example of a person who himself was a hippie. And said, you don't know what hippie life is. Sometimes it's a hippie became happies. But that statement of hippies becoming happies is so profound. What were hippies all about and what is happies all about? Diametrically opposite personalities. That is Prabhupada's munificence. That is Prabhupada's tolerance. At a old age of, what was Prabhupada's age? 66. What was his age? 68, 69, 70 years old person. 77. And you know, and in that old age, he hears a pakka Brijabasi by heart, a pakka Indian at heart. He hears his disciples divorcing, some girl running to somebody else, and all these crazy things happening. And Prabhupada said, don't worry, chant Hare Krishna. That is tolerance. That is being completely above the old age factor. So this is Prabhupada's glory. So let us really, understand from this wonderful verse of Prahlad that how the time factor is a very, very important thing to be used in Krishna's service. And if we take complete shelter of this person, the way Prahlad explains of how wonderful Krishna is, we are surely going to be protected from everything. Nothing they will protect us from everything, the way he protected Prahlad Maharaj. What was the chance of Prahlad being saved from Hiranyakashipu? Absolutely no material chance. Hiranyakashipu could have squeezed him in a matter of milliseconds and thrown him in oblivion. Right? What was the chance? No chance. But there was complete chance because it complete shelter of Krishna, and what remained was nothing but Hiranyakashipu not existing in a matter of few seconds. And I mean in a matter of in a few hours, in a matter of few verses, we will see the wonderful appearance of Lord Narasingadev. And I would like to end with a beautiful small story which I heard in Kiev. The power of Lord's protection. There was a lady, there was a particular verse which my wife gave class on Narasingadev. This is second chapter, different incarnations explained in brief. And the verse she was speaking is on Narasingadev verse. And some lady came and said she was in some program, and the program got over very late. And she had to go to another town. And there was a big lonely stretch of road from one town to another town where she was. So she said, "Let me just go." And she was walking, and far she saw a big light. And they said, "Well, there's some light." So she walked, and she went, and there was a big police van. The big police van, and she told this Ukrainian policeman. And for those who've been to Ukraine, you know how they look. The Ukrainian police people, you know, the Russians, they are like rugged. The skin is rugged, huge. And you know, they are really, really rugged people. So she went. I said, "I don't know what happened to me." I said, "Can I sleep in your van tonight?" And you know, of course, she said, "Please." These people said, "Please sleep." And he opened the door, made her sleep, and he came in the van. And she said, "My God, what is this? What have I done? I have to be a fool." And she was so fearful. And this person sat down next to her, you know, obviously for very horrible reasons, for very, very sinful desires that he had. And she started shouting, "Namaste," singing nursing prayers louder and louder and louder and louder. And this person was thinking, what's happening? And she said, "I was screaming at the top of my voice." And he said, "I don't know what happened." Then I remembered the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I said, "Ami to kamera dasa," that I'm a servant of lust. I want to surrender to you. I told that fellow, "You sing this verse, sing." She was forced him to this. "Oh, okay. Ami to kamera dasa." He said, this fellow started singing like this. A matter of no time, can you imagine this helpless lady? She's a skinny lady. I know her. Very skinny lady. And this huge Ukrainian, grotesque, policeman, he started crying. This was like crying. She kept crying in the van. And he started shouting to his other friend who was sitting. He said, "Please open the door. I don't know what's happening to me." And the fellow came and took him inside. And the lady locked the door. And she was amazed to see the protection of Narasingadev. He said, "Narasingadev protects." He said, "I got complete faith in Lord Narasingadev's protection. When you invoke his blessings, what was my, there was no hope to protect my chastity at any cost." This huge man started crying. I was shocked that how is he crying? And his friends came and in Ukrainian language, he said, "What's happening?" And then he left. He said, "Placebo, thank you very much." And he left left his van. And of course, she got up early in the morning, and these guys were drunk, and they were sleeping in the front of the van, and she ran to his house, to her house. So one of the many stories of the Lord's protection. Avashya Rakhive Krishna. When you have faith in Krishna, he will always protect you. And this is Prahlad Maharaj's assurance. And why should Krishna protect you? Because he is all these wonderful qualities that Prahlad is explaining. He is a supreme controller. Tumi Sarveshwareshwaraha. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. It's very late, so there's no chance for any questions. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Narasingadev Bhagavan ki. Sri Prahlad Maharaj ki. Nitai Gaura Premanandi.